Out of Ephesians this morning, chapter 5, we get to hear God's word from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He encourages us and convicts us and challenges us and inspires us with these words, starting verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine. Watch yourself when you get a little moose. For that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His word. You may have experienced a few questions in your life from either your son or daughter, or your nephew or niece, or some other person that's younger than you, and they look up to you and they are inquisitive about things of life. Ever had anybody ask you a question before along the way? They're curious. They want to know how things work. And my wife swears to me that I just make it up if I don't know. You know, just so we can at least get some sort of an answer. Where did that come from? There are lots of things that we may not know. And in fact, the Bible is filled with mystery. And I've got a list of about 100 questions as soon as I see Jesus. I want to roll off my list. You know, I have this idea. And then I think probably we won't even have to worry about it at that time. But in the meantime, there are some things I want to look at today. There is the mystery of the gift of deliverance. There's the mystery of the gift of suffering. There's the mystery of the gift of worship. And we're going to touch a little bit on each one of those this morning. 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 33 finds David at a very interesting time in his life. I don't think it's any accident that we're going to talk about his walk through the valley of the shadow of death as we also walk through the valley of the shadow of our death, of folks here in our own community, of our loved ones. David was very upset when his little baby got sick. He didn't know what to do. He was not a physician. It was out of his hands. And so there were many a sleepless night when David prayed over the life of this little blessed child given to him from God. And he was praying for healing, and he was praying for healing, and he was praying for healing. And what happened to the baby? He died. He died. It says that David then got up. He cleaned off his sackcloth and ashes. He ended his state of mourning, and all those that were around him were very, very confused. He said, I don't understand. I don't understand how you can just get up like this after such an amazing loss. Such a hurtful, deep grief. And we saw how much you were suffering while the baby was alive. And as soon as the baby died, you got up and cleaned yourself off. And it's those words from David that I think speak into this mystery more than anything else. He says, I am now no longer able for my baby to come to me. It is not within my power. But what I can do is rest in the assurance that one day I can go and be with my baby. It's a very strong statement of what we do with this mystery of grief, with this mystery of loss. And it points us to this answer that we did not expect. It hits us in a way that we may not have been prepared for. Mike Holliday was riding back on the flight from Dallas to Charleston or to Pittsburgh with us yesterday, and he said his partner in the seat next to him was a World War veteran. And he said this gentleman sitting next to him celebrated 60 years of marriage with his wife. Mike leaned over and he said, "If I got married right now, I could be 113 by the time that happened." And you got to know Mike Holliday. You know, that's just Mike. He takes things as God has placed them in his life. And this gentleman was speaking to Mike, and he was saying, "I've now been without her 4 years." But yet he was able to sit there and to speak in terms of the amazing time he had had with his wife and the blessings that that opportunity had over and over and over again down through the decades. There's certainly a mystery of grief and deliverance that we need to be speaking of. But in Psalm 102, I don't know, that I didn't really mean to get you down so hard. Did you see the words in Psalm 102? What kind of feelings do you think the psalmist was going through when he wrote Psalm 102? I mean, he was in the pit of despair. I mean, look at those words. I mean, clinically speaking, Rebecca, what we could probably diagnose a few things in his life. I mean, depression at the easiest. You know, manic depressive. I mean, he spoke, I feel like a vulture or a desert owl that I can't do anything but look and see where a little piece of nourishment might show up on the landscape, but I have no guarantee it's even going to be there tonight. We're in the desert, for Pete's sake. I mean, he goes on and he talks how broken he is. Want a description of fibromyalgia out of the Bible? Let's try Psalm 102. What did it say about the bones? Anybody still got Psalm 102? Oh, is it up there? Oh, man, you're good. Is it up there? Where's the bones? Yeah, "For my days pass away like smoke, my bones burn like a furnace." What do you think? I mean, it's constant, and there's no relief. So I don't know if it was physical or spiritual or both, but the psalmist had a horrible, very bad, terrible day, right? And so what is this mystery about suffering? And the very last line, Madison, go ahead, just go all the way at the bottom. Here's the perspective that we get that we did not expect. The psalmist does not focus on his suffering. He focuses on the eternity of the one true living God. He cannot make any sense of what he's walking through, physically or spiritually or emotionally. But he says, "But to you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations." He says, "It's not about me. It's not about what I'm walking through. I'll never figure it out until I get to you and see you face to face." I had some wise counsel before we stepped up here this morning that just said to me, it's the hindsight where we then get the picture of what in the world was going on, and we had no idea why that suffering had to be there. And we serve a God who is not a stranger to suffering. And that through our suffering, it is not just so we can be tormented. and I will use it to my dying breath, and I believe it with everything in me. God wastes no experiences. What do you think? God wastes no experiences. I don't care what you're currently walking through. There will be a time and a place where you can share that with someone else, and it will help and be a part of their healing. Brother Ben's not the only one that's been transformed by Celebrate Recovery. As it brings to light the opportunities in all of our lives that we are powerless over sin, and it is only God and God alone that can restore us to sanity. The mystery is that it points us to a perspective we did not expect. And ultimately then, the Apostle Paul, he gives us a few things, and he says, I want you to worship. There is a mystery about worship. There's a wonderful chapter in the book that they're reading in the Sunday school class. Brian McLaren and Tony Campolo, two of my favorite authors in all the world. Brian McLaren beats to his own drum. He loves the Lord, and he says, it is time we see things from a different perspective. Jesus is still alive and well, and if we're not being relevant in the world today, we will miss out on these things of life that he has to offer. Tony Campolo has been a voice of justice and mercy and grace for decades. His famous message, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Not quite like Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, but I'll tell you, if you've ever, YouTube it if you need to. Tony Campolo speaks about this hope we find in Jesus, and they write a chapter called Missing the Point When It Comes to Worship. And I'll tell you, we get embroiled sometime in one way or another. And I'm glad that the Apostle Paul points us to a spirited variety we do not expect. He says, I'm not just going to talk to you about hymns. I'm not just going to talk to you about spiritual songs. I'm going to talk to you about this amazing variety that God has placed in all of us, where the message still stands as the center and the delivery is as varied as the people that God has created. Now, when you're sitting there at Saddleback in Orange County, by the way, I always have to take a picture of something that says Orange County when I go out to California, and there's 3,500 folks that are sitting there. Well, in fact, probably nobody's sitting while we worship. We stand, and we've got our hands lifted to the heavens, and we sing to the glory of God. And then we come to Philippi Baptist, and we hear a hymn that I wasn't even that familiar with this morning, but I remembered it when I started it. Face to face with Christ my Savior. What an amazing, rich, and wonderful text that says one day we get to see, because the veil right now, right? There's a veil. We can't see it all. I can't get it all figured out. But this hymn of the faith reminds us that one day we get to. And our lives are poorer if we don't have both of those. I took a screenshot this morning while they were singing away up here today. There was an amazing lyric. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss it when I got to that time. The songs that Shine Effect give us were beautiful words. They came from their heart. They wrote every single one of those songs that you heard them sing today. How about this? Because my life is in your hands. My hope is in your hands. How great are your plans? My heart is in your hands. That's not too bad of a message right there. And it's true. It's true. It's where we find our hope and determination. Now, I'm going to finish with this. Oh, yeah, right on time. We're going to finish with this. It's an opportunity for us to hear. Life is filled with hype and distress. There is disaster awaiting every corner of this life that we are in. Pastor Rick Warren stood up And he told us a little bit about what was going wrong with this world. I've got a copy of it, and if you want one when you leave, you're welcome to it. But let me tell you, it's not a pretty list. And it speaks to the very heart of where we find ourselves in this world. And it can be Psalm 102 lived out, because we find ourselves in a mess. How about this? Wealth is idolized. Sex is advertised. Truth is minimized. Biographies are fictionalized. Our kids have been tranquilized. Advertisements have been sensualized. Television has been vulgarized. Sin has been glamorized. Immorality has been popularized. Everything is sexualized and commercialized. Our consciences have been desensitized and anesthetized. Education has been secularized. Perversion has been normalized. Abortion has been legalized. Free markets have been monopolized. Races have been polarized. It's no wonder we live in a world of depression. Politics have been polarized. Sports have been scandalized. Morals and ethics have been liberalized. Drugs have been legitimized. Crimes have been sensationalized. Courts are paralyzed. The breakup of families are rationalized. Management is uncivilized. Christians are satirized and demonized. God has been marginalized. Life has been trivialized. The lost are unevangelized. The leaders are criticized. The poor are brutalized. The sick are dehumanized. Children are victimized and penalized. Those with AIDS and mental illness are despised, ostracized, stigmatized. And that's just a warm-up. At the same time, the church is feudalized and fossilized, paralyzed, scandalized, sterilized, demoralized, disorganized, and immobilized. Our worship is jeopardized. Our witness is compromised. Our faith is compartmentalized. And you say, well, just let's throw up our hands and go home. But here's his last point. There are reasons for despair. But I still continue to have hope. And I don't care what state the world gets in, there is a God that we serve that is bigger than anything we are walking through in this world. And there will be mysteries. And we don't know how everything connects together. And we're not sure what the next part might be. Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale. He had went down all of his life, finally to the bottom of the pit and in the stomach of an animal. And it was in that point, in Jonah 2:6, he says, in my despair, I looked up to the Lord, and I have hope. Shine Effect reminded me of that hope today. When I see these young people who have already walked through more opportunities than many of us have, and to see them continue to be faithful to this one we call Jesus, it gives me great hope. And when I see Wes Gray stand up here and tell me all about his Sunday school class, when I got to take that fella and we went down to the Tiger River underneath the covered bridge, and he said, I'm going to make a statement for my family and for the world. We baptized that fella. Anybody there? Did anybody see? We got some witnesses. We still got some witnesses today. I look over at the stained glass window every Sunday and I see this amazing act of baptism. And it reminds me of where we all have entered into this journey with Christ. Do I have it all figured out? Have I got it all spelled out and know exactly what tomorrow's going to bring? I don't have a clue. But there is joy in the mystery. Because we are not doing this by ourselves. We serve a gracious and almighty and wonderful God. who wants to break the bondage of despair and fill us with his hope. Now, you're going to be all deputized today. You are dispensers of his hope. That's what you get to do. Griffins, when you step out of this church, you get to tell others that Jesus loves them too. That's your privilege. Penny Adair, she's hearing me this morning. She got these little thingies that I have on the back of my ears. I said, you were already beautiful, now you get to hear at the same time. That's awesome. And she gets to go. Elaine Abrams gets to step out in faith and be a dispenser of God's grace in this community. Savannah, we'll even let you do that up in Bealington too, all right? You got to tell people Jesus loves you up there too, right? This gal wants to be in church. She begs, bars, and steals when these doors are open to be here. What'd you have to do to get here to this church this morning? I don't think she stole to get here. Let me back up a little bit. But I'll tell you, she'll light up my phone if she thinks she's missing on a Monday night. She wants to make sure she's here and to see what God's going to do, not only in her life, but in those that gather. We've got a great opportunity to go out and be messengers for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Almighty God, I am so thankful that I don't have it all figured out. I am so thankful that you only give me enough to step out a little bit in front. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You didn't say anything about being a floodlight and having it all lit out so I knew where I was headed. But I am thankful that you have promised you will show me my next right step. And I know, Lord, that you will do that in every single person's life that is here today. You promise us that. And there will be mysteries. There will be answers that we do not expect. There will be perspectives that we have not prepared for. And there will be variety that just didn't seem to be what we thought it should be. And Lord, allow us to be open to your Spirit. Because last time I checked, we've got about 15,000 people in Barber County alone. And I would love to think that they are all sitting somewhere in a church service today, but that's just not so. We have over 125 churches. Lord, there are people standing in the pulpit today speaking your truth all across our county, and we thank you for our sister churches that are doing that. And Lord, I pray that we all understand the need for us to go out and preach this message of hope. We love you, Lord. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.